Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Alves, and joining me on the bullpen phone, my pal Krazook.
Hello, let's do it. It is playoff time. It's a very exciting time for baseball.
Yeah, we're in some playoff hunts. It's not playoff time per se, but we are rapidly.
Not if for Major League Baseball, not, yes. But if you're a Winnipeg Gold Eye fan,
that's right. In the playoffs. And so, first playoff game since 2017, held at Shaw Park on Wednesday. The Gold Eyes won that one. They are, so this show, we're taping Thursday night, airs Friday morning. They are playing tonight in Fargo. Game 3, if necessary, also in Fargo.
And this is just the best of three, right?
Yeah, it's a best of three. They've shortened the American Association playoffs, no longer a best of five, so.
You were in the Shaw Park?
I was in Shaw Park on Wednesday. Beautiful night, first of all, for a ball game.
Yeah.
Gorgeous weather. I mean, thank you, global warming, for providing like a 20-plus degree night in September. But, I mean, maybe it's a sign of the apocalypse, but I did enjoy the night. That said.
Baseball is always good to see it live, right?
Yeah. And, I mean, I've always contended this, and this is something I think we've even talked about on the show. If you go to a game, like, guaranteed, you're going to see something you've never seen before.
Yeah.
Like, despite
almost all the time
storied history of baseball and all the things that have happened, something happens that just you haven't seen before, particularly like live. And so for me, multiple things happened that I hadn't seen before. The first of which, a successful Baltimore chopper. So this is the like slap hit. Essentially, it's like a powerful bunt.
Okay.
Like, and so the ball kind of like
you kind of fake the bunt and then you just kind of whip the bat at the ball, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Right. Yeah. So then it's like it goes into the infield, but like with some force behind it, right? It's not like a slow dribbler. And so man on third, and they managed to score the guy because the ball like
got it goes past the guy that's coming in on the infield, right? That's what you're trying to do.
And so you get they like couldn't make the play at the plate. The guy was safe because the ball, they were not expecting it to come out with such force. So
that was on contact. That's great.
And then first time I've seen someone taken off by stretcher, unfortunately.
Yeah, I heard
probably
about
saw this.
This
news that Max Murphy, who is the leading offensive player for the Gold Eyes this season and was named one of the offensive all-stars in the association, injured on a play at the plate. In the same sort of sequence of scoring, right? This was a 5-run third inning the Gold Eyes had. And he collided with the Fargo Redhawks catcher. And just because of the way his leg went, he ended up breaking his left leg.
Oh.
He went over the catcher. And at the time when he kind of hit the ground hard. And to be quite honest, like a lot of us thought he might have hurt his neck or his back with the way he landed, right? Like, because he, you know, end over end, head over the catcher and kind of landed awkwardly. sat up for a second and then like fell back down onto the ground. And then, you know, took quite a while. They brought the trainers out, you know, talked to him, and then finally brought out the stretcher and loaded him onto it. And then it was reported that he unfortunately broke his left leg. So the Goldeyes will be without him in Fargo. But I mean, I'd never seen someone carted off by stretcher at a ball game. So best wishes, definitely pouring one out for Max Murphy, who had been 2 for 2 in that game and scored a run and scored an RBI. But yeah, what a way to go.
Now did that actually, was he out on that play?
No. So he
made it home.
The ball came loose, and so they credited him with the run. So at that point, the Goldeyes had gone. They were down 1-0 off of a solo home run early in the game, and so they were up at that point 4-1, and they later added 2 more and finished at 6-3. So yeah, it was quite the game, and certainly not something I anticipated seeing. But yeah, good luck to the Goldeyes tonight.
Yes, and definitely that. And like you said, you get to a ball game, you expect the unexpected, right? And yeah, that's the beauty of this game, right? As much as there's a lot of naysayers, and it may be not as fast paced as the society now that we live in, but there's some beauty to the game, right? That you'll see something that you might never have seen before in your life.
Oh, and actually there was a third thing I'd never seen before. So late in the game, Red Hawks are trying to mount a comeback. You know, it had been 6-1, and then they added 2 runs, 6-3. They had a man on third. I guess this was in the ninth, late in the game. And so obviously the fifth run at the plate, and long fly ball into left field. Wouldn't you know it, the runner on third didn't tag up. And so really? He was nearly home and had to turn around and run to third and was nearly picked off.
Wow. Well, that's quite the first game of the playoffs they're watching there live.
Yeah. So my hope is obviously that if they win one of the next two in Fargo, hopefully they get it done in two on Friday, that they'll host another series. Because it was certainly some exciting baseball, and certainly the weather seems to be still pretty promising here in Winnipeg.
And hopefully they had a little bit of a crowd there. That would have been nice.
Yeah, decent crowd. I would say a little thin in the like kind of, you know, sections,
sure,
RST on the end, yeah. But like solid, healthy crowd, and certainly decent cheering section for the Goldeyes as they start knocking in those runs.
Let's go Fish, right? So hopefully next week we're still talking Goldeyes in the playoffs.
Right, exactly. In the meantime, you know, things are definitely heating up in the major leagues. We've got some playoff races. Unfortunately, I'll tell you
this. Go ahead.
I mean, I'll start with the Twins, who sadly on earlier this week lost a doubleheader to the Yankees. They did win Thursday night.
They did finally salvage one. But I will say this, because I listen to a lot of Minnesota sports radio and
still
kind of Nash and K-Fan. Yeah,
K-Fan.
And the mashing is about Baldelli, the manager, pulling pitchers early, right? Which is it's not just the Twins, it's all over the place. I don't know the name of it, but they called up a pitcher on Wednesday, had his major league debut, went 5-ish innings, was doing well, but pulled him. And then I believe the reliever was Jax that came in, gave up a run, or the inherited run was scored, and then the Twins went on to lose. And you know, the problem with the Twins is that one, that they could be running out of time in the standings, but two, that no different than a lot of teams kind of, you know, trying to make a push for the playoffs. Their starting pitching is, it's just, I don't know how they've won so many games. There's a reason why they weren't favored to start the year, right, Michael? I mean,
yeah,
they're kind of duct taping a lot of this on the fly here. And it's even in some respects, it was bound to kind of, the regression was going to happen somewhere. It just has happened at the wrong time here, where Cleveland has stayed the course, and now Chicago's kind of nipping on the heels of both teams, and we got a three-way race, I think, all the
way. Yeah, so in their last 10 games, Cleveland has gone 3-7, the Twins are 4-6, and the White Sox are 6-4.
Oh my goodness. It's like the battle to the bottom here, right? Like someone's got to win. Like we keep saying this, someone's got to win this division. The wild card's not coming out of this, right? So,
well, all three teams are now lower in the winning percentage than Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Right. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, they at least got one out of Yankee Stadium, but
yeah, which, you know, mean, it doesn't, like, Lord knows is like that place is like Hoth for the Empire or something. Like it just is not a hospitable climate.
That's a great analogy. It's quite good. Yeah, look it up, people, if you don't know. But the Twinkies against the Yankees, it's not a pretty sight. They had something on that radio station somewhere earlier this week. The last time that listen to this, it was something like this. The last time that the Minnesota was favored against New York in a game,
Babe Ruth was still alive.
Like 2007 or so. It was like Johan Santana time back in the
day, yeah.
Right? Do you know what I mean? Like we're going, like that's almost 15 years, right? It is 15 years actually. And for whatever reason, New York has had their number for ever. And, you know, now they're at least they get out of there. But I mean, it doesn't help that the Byron Buxton is still injured, right? Like they're top player. They need him back on the field.
I mean, really, that's like, he's the canary in the coal mine of the Twins' fortunes, right? Like if he's well, then the team fortune seems to be well.
Sure.
If he's poor, it's...
Sure.
I mean, that's what happens with your all-star, right? I mean, take the Yankees, right? Like,
yeah, take Judge.
Judge is carrying this team.
He literally single-handedly is... He has almost as many home runs as some teams. Like they had a stat up about, I don't know, Detroit or one of the lower end teams. Like Aaron Judge has almost as many home runs by himself than teams this year, right? Like it's like he single-handedly is keeping the Yankees afloat in the division of trying to win it. And obviously they'll probably get a wild card for sure. But yeah, I mean, take away Vladdy Guerrero or Bichette for the Jays, or name any top player, Goldschmidt, Arenado for the St. Louis, or go down the list, right? Like your top player, that there's a reason he gets the most money, is that you would hope that he's producing. And that's, unfortunately, Buxton has had this his whole career. He just, you know, when he's on the field, he's
electric.
He's an all-star. Oh, he's a five-tool player, and he's something that you know, a player you want to watch in person, but he never can play more than about 100 games a year. I mean, you look it up in his career. There's a reason they were trying to manage him this year. They were kind of doing the Kawhi Leonard, you know, load management on Buxton, and it still didn't work. You know, like
right.
it just could be some of it's bad luck, but just also just some of it's just maybe his body is only can only last so long in a season. It just kind of maybe the way he plays a bit, you know, because if you take too much away from it, then it's not Byron Buxton, right? So it's a bit of that balance they were trying to get him through the end of the year, but it seems like they try to, I guess, maybe put him on the IL now so he can come back for the last 2 or 3 weeks. But I haven't heard anything yet if he's even going to make it back in the field anytime soon. So,
well, the next series this weekend for the Twins is against Cleveland. So clearly this is an opportunity to make ground. Hey,
and no different than what you know, it's too bad Brian's not on, but we can hopefully talk next week. But how about the Jays of, I think, burying the O's, right? Like they play him a couple more times this month, so there's still a chance for them to come back. But a huge series where they took a doubleheader. I think they won 3 out of 4 against them, and they looked good. I mean, Bo Bichette is on fire. He had a chance for 4 home runs in a game. He had 3 in one of the games in the doubleheader earlier this week. And, Alex Manoah is the ace of that. Like, it's funny to say that. Like, they got Gausman and Berrios, and it's Manoah who's really leading the way. But, I mean, that's what you got to do, right? When you have a team that you're battling for the playoffs, you got to win that series.
You need to win those.
Well, because, you know, instead, you know, what happens is you just stretch it out now, right? So now there's a bit of a buffer. I was texting my brother about this, is that, you know, they still got to play the O's a bit more this month. But but they've given themselves a little bit of a buffer, right? You got to beat the teams that you
take battle. 3 of 4, a 750 winning percentage against a direct competitor for a playoff spot. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, no.
You'd love to win them all, but at the very least, you need to take the majority of them.
Well, not only that, but it was on the road, right? So, you know, that's huge for them because
went into Camden Yards and did this.
Yeah. And then they get them back at Rogers Center and, you know, hopefully advantage for the Blue Jays.
If you look at the weekend before, they went and swept the Pirates.
Right. Exactly.
It's one of those things where you're playing the bad team. You got to win all those games.
You got to beat the teams that are well below you in the standings, right? So, you know, I think the Twins, you know, they're lucky they sort of top Detroit and Kansas City in that division because you play all these division games this year still. And, I mean, you got to take advantage of that because that's what's on the schedule.
For the Jays this weekend, it's the Rangers. So that's certainly a nice.
Right. That's another, you know, so you have a chance there to keep stretching it. And every little bit counts because, you know, there's going to be still a little bit of, you know, you're going to have another swoon somewhere a little bit, but you've given yourself hopefully that margin where I think it would, you know, Brian would say, if he's listening, I'm jinxing him here, but it would be, I would think a pretty epic collapse here now by the Jays if they didn't make the playoffs, right? If you look at the standings, because the AL Central is just, you know, they're just all spinning their wheels. No one's going to get very close in that race. And then,
the wild card.
Other than Baltimore.
Obviously, you have to win the AL Central to make the playoffs. Anyone else? So Baltimore's 4.5 games back to the other wild card spot. Minnesota's 7. Chicago's 7.5 back.
Yeah.
You know, as we record
you would have Thursday to night. You'd have to make a pretty epic run now, right? You'd have to win, you know, 20 of the last 25 or whatever's left in the schedule, right? Like you really have to go at a very high percentage to win out the rest of the season here. And even then, you still might not catch up. That's a lot of games, right? At the end of the season here, it has been done. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
there's been some
epic collapses, but it's
one of those three teams. Right. Like because the next closest after that is Boston at 10.
Yeah.
And they've not happening. Been on a really like just mediocre skid. And then LA, the Angels are 16.5 back of the wild card. Right. So it's just
it's not going to happen on those teams. I will want to say this again. We always like to bring this up because I like to bring this up. I'm a big Ohtani fan. Who isn't? And Brian is a big Trout fan. The Trout's been on fire again. Ohtani has on both sides again, pitching and hitting. I think in one game, Ohtani hit a 33rd home run. Trout hit a 32nd home run, and they lost 5-4 to the Tigers.
Yeah, like, you know, it's interesting when we were talking about, like, you know, having that player and, like, losing a Buxton. Like, they've got Trout and Ohtani right now, and these guys are all-stars, and it's just, like, it's not enough for them.
I mean, if Aaron Judge wasn't doing what he's doing this year, we would be talking back-to-back Ohtani, because he's better pitching, and his hitting, maybe he doesn't have quite the home runs, but he has 33. Yeah. I think last year he hit 46 or 47, so if he might get to 40 home runs this year. That's a pretty good year for anyone, right? Like, other than Aaron Judge, no one else is really, like, you know, Aaron Judge is, like, in a stratosphere.
He stands alone. And actually, that led me to a piece that was on MLB.com earlier this week that I wanted to bring up. And that was Mike Petriello's piece, Judge's run to 60 might be harder than anyone else.
Mm.
So the subheading is the 60 homer mark has been reached only 8 times by 5 players.
So you got your Bonds, McGuire, Maris. Okay, so I got 3 of them. McGuire, Sosa. So that's 4. And then who is the 5th? That's a good. I'm just trying to think. I mean, this should be pretty obvious.
Well, who did Maris's record? Oh, be?
Ruth. Sure.
There you go.
Okay, there you go. So yeah, it's rarefied air. Rarefied air.
Yeah, we're talking. It happened in 1927, 1961, and then four-season span of 98-01 that, you know,
wow.
Has a giant asterisk beside those.
Question mark, to say the least, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, so what I really, like, I mean, obviously knew about the argument about, like, you know, Ruth didn't face the best competition available, right? There's that a pre-integration that's league. It's a very obvious one. But the stat that I had not known about, but that like really does kind of reinforce like how different the game is, Judge has had to face many, many more pitchers. This is the like sort of headline of the second stat. In 1927, Ruth faced 67 different pitchers all season. In 1961, Maris faced 101. Entering the Wednesday doubleheader against the Twins, Judge faced 224 different pitchers this season.
Wow. Yeah.
He hit a home run off of his number 55 home run off of Louis Verland or Varland, the rookie Twins.
Yeah, that pitcher. Was the rookie guy. Yeah.
That was pitcher number 225. Wow. And so the Yankees are yet to face Milwaukee and Pittsburgh, two teams Aaron Judge hasn't batted against yet this season. And then, of course, like, you know, September call-ups and the like. So the expected total is probably around 240 different pitchers that he'll have seen. And obviously, like, these pitchers, you know, the average velocity.
Yeah, they're throwing gas a lot, right?
Vastly different. They all have, you know, the stats in the books on Judge as a hitter. Like, you know, like they're, if they were lucky, they had cue cards back in like.
I watched one of the games, I believe it was on Labor Day, that it was Twins and Yankees and Chris Archer was pitching and he hung one to Judge and Judge just, see you later, right? And he's just, I mean, you know, it kind of reminds me a bit of the Bonds here where he's just locked in, right? Like every time he kind of comes up, he can hit one, right? And people like, I mean, the thing also, what I read in one of the, an article is that his margin, the difference between first and second place, he's getting towards where Babe Ruth had these margins in the 1920s, right? Where he was ahead by 30 or 40, right? It's not going to be that wide, but it's, I believe it's like 15 or 18 he's ahead of either it was Ohtani or Harper around then, and or no, Schwarber. And I mean, that's a pretty big gap usually in home runs. Usually it's much closer, and he's just, you know, head we are talking like, you know, he just broke the record for Yankee for a right-handed hitter. A-Rod had it at 54, so he's at 55. And like you said, if he gets to 60 or even surpasses Maris, then he would have the Yankee record all along, all by himself. But there's only five players who have hit 60, asterisks or not, right? Like,
yeah.
That's what happened on the field. And, you know, played with the best players or not, different errors and all that. This has been played, this game, for almost 150 years or so. Five players have hit 60 home runs in a season.
Yeah. And so not only is he facing a bunch of different pitchers, fewer and fewer of those pitchers are starters. So, you know, back in the Ruth era, a reliever was only seen in case of injury or disaster. And nearly half of American League games that year featured a complete game. 88% of innings were thrown by starters.
Mm.
Right. So, you know, you're totally facing guys later into the game when they're gassed and stuff. And now like the fresh arms are coming in and throwing like 100.
Right. Right. So yeah, the game has shifted, you know, drastically off, and especially in the last 10 or 15 years, even more so, right. About the relievers and kind of committee games and all that. But yeah, I mean, you know, and so what I read too is that, you know, Judge refused the Yankees offer before the start of the year, right? And basically someone had kind of commented that he's probably gained about $100 to $150 million in negotiations for next year, right? Like, hey, when they say bet on yourself in a contract year, Aaron Judge has done, and we're not even talking about the playoffs yet. Like if somehow the Yankees somehow, you know, got on the run and wanted the title. So just, you know, that would just even be a bonus contract negotiations, right? I mean, because how can you, if you're in New York, how can you let this guy go, right? Like, no. I mean, that said, is there's going to be a lot of suitors for this, for if him, you, right? I mean,
if you're Brian Cashman, like if you have a season like this and you let him walk, Like, you're going to get pilloried.
I don't even know how you have the job. I honestly think you have to sign them or you resign.
The fans and the media alike are just going to rake you.
Yeah, because you're talking about, like, the Pantheon, the New York Yankees, right? The mythical, you know, organization franchise. I mean, he could beat Roger Maris' record. I mean, if he... You know, he'd have to get on a real heater to kind of catch Bonds, but he is on pace right now as we tape
to like break 65.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he'd be 64 or 65. And if you're talking about that, like, that's
you're talking about he'll have eclipsed two guys with like busts in that, you know, little like preserve they have at Yankee
Stadium. Monument Park. Yeah,
exactly. Monument Park.
Yeah, totally. Right? Like, I mean, you're talking about like iconic Yankees, right? Like Roger Maris, Babe Ruth, like those, you know, they've talked about them for decades, right? And what they're especially those years, 27 to 61. I mean, you can just say that and a Yankee fan would know what you're talking about, right? Like those are that iconic, those home run performances. It's, you know, we're seeing something like I said, what Otani's doing is historic, maybe never seen again in our lifetime. And we're also seeing something that might not happen again. Someone who will break a Yankee record that's stood, you know, forever.
61 years.
Yeah. You know, and if he does it, you tip the cap to him. Because like you said, it's an interesting article, right? Could it be the hardest to hit 60? Yeah, possibly.
Well, the thing around the relievers was that, you know, things start to favor the hitter when you come third time, you're facing the pitcher for the third time, right? The stat they had, it was great, was Hall of Famer Frank Robinson hit 15 more homers against starters the third time compared to the first time up to bat, despite taking nearly 650 fewer plate appearances in the third, you know, and so looking at, you know, as you would expect, Babe Ruth saw the most batters the third time or pitchers the third time because the starters just went longer. Now at 35% of his plate appearances, whereas Aaron Judge lowest on the list at 17%, right? Like the it's like a third as many, and you know, Maris was 30%, so like half as many basically, that his opportunities are just not there. He's facing fresh arms, and so the things you could take advantage of in the past are gone. But yeah, it's a fascinating article. I will link to it in the show notes, because I mean, despite him being a Yankee, it is a very impressive thing. So
I have to take the Yankees. Exactly. You hate the Yankees or not, what he's doing is historic this year, and it should be, you know, recognized and rewarded. And it is, because it's New York, right? Like, like again, we always said if Otani was doing this or Trout in New York, he would be, you know, you'd hear it every day out there. But it is good for baseball. Because that's just, we talk about the stars and stuff. I mean, this guy, he's not like, you know, young, but he is he's the face of Major League Baseball, and he's at an iconic franchise, and he's doing something that, you know, home runs, right? That still has a draw to people, analytics or not, right? Like, you know, home run is still a home run. And he's doing something that, like you said, only five players have ever achieved, and he's five away from it.
Speaking of only five players achieving something, so far this season, only five players are 2020 players in the majors. So 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases. One of them, so the September Rookie of the Year polls results have been released. Julio Rodriguez on the Mariners leads with 40 first place votes. Next closest is Adley Rutschman with two first place votes. So Rodriguez has 23 home runs and 24 stolen bases. So that puts him in the company of Kyle Tucker, Marcus Semien, Adolis Garcia, and Bobby Witt Jr.
Oh, so two rookies are Witt Jr. and Julio.
Now, obviously, Julio on a playoff team and Witt, sadly,
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that said, is, I mean, it's good, you know, that's at least for the future for the Royals. And like we said, flags fly forever. So they've won one in the last decade. Right. Yeah. But I watched a bit of Seattle on the weekend. They were late night on MLB there. And Julio's just great. He's just fun to watch, another a young star, right, in the making here. And he does things, you know, he's great in the outfield. He hits for power. You know, I mean, this is, again, people we want to champion, and it's great when prospects kind of, you know, meet the expectation a bit. And it's only year one, but you know, if you can go through fantasy baseball and how many prospects have come out this year that haven't panned out. Yeah, right. So it's tough. Yeah. It's tough. Right. But Julio's had a great year, and so has Witt.
On the NL side for the rookie of the year poll, Spencer Strider of Atlanta currently leads, and I mean, understandably so.
That might be unanimous.
It's not unanimous, actually.
Oh, interesting.
The gap between first and second on that is not as high as it is on the AL side. So Spencer has 31 first place votes. Michael Harris, the second, also on Atlanta, 11 first place votes. So 31 to 11, not the gigantic lead that that Julio has, but
it's just
because Atlanta is like right there. They're a half game back of the Mets right now, and man,
that's a great race.
That's right? a great race too, and their run differential. The Atlanta actually is ahead of the Mets with 160. They're plus 160 to plus 129. So their expected win-loss, actually, they should be two up on the Mets.
I will say this. It's a great race. It's exciting. It's defending champions have come to life in the last month or so. Mm-hmm. And, and the Mets have faltered a bit. You know, Scherzer back on the IL, unfortunately. DeGrom has pitched really well since he's come back. That's what you want, because it's interesting. If you like the standings, the wild card, the kind of – there won't be a lot of it kind of will be these races for the divisions, right, in the AL Central and the NL East probably are going to be the two best ones. The wild card is probably going to be done unless there's some spurts from teams from behind a bit. They'd have to get on a roll here, but that's going to be a great run, right? Because the Mets have rolled, and one thing that's kind of lost a bit is always because they've been so constant and so consistent over the years, but the Dodgers just keep on winning. They just keep rolling. Like it's amazing how they, you know, they're stacked. Don't get me wrong.
19 games up on the Padres, who are in second.
And the Padres haven't had a bad season.
No,
but they're just steamrolling teams. Like they just, that lineup they have, like Cody Bellinger has had a horrible year. And no one's talking about that because they're close to 100 wins already this year. You know what I mean? Like used to be a former MVP, has not had a great year and gets covered because they've had outstanding. Like Freeman alone coming over has been a huge boon for them. Kimbrel has been great as a reliever, and they're still getting away with it, right?
They 700 winning percentage right now.
Yeah, like I said before, and this is, you know, as we go through to get to October, this is the fun time of the year if you're a Major League Baseball fan, right? There's a lot of stuff going on individually and especially team that every week it can change quickly, right? Like I hopefully haven't jinxed it, Brian, but you know, the Jays, if they have a bad weekend, it could get tight again, right? Where last week that was a big series that they came through with flying colors, and that's what you're hoping for, like for your Twinkies or other teams that are competing here. You know, you give it yourself a chance. You just got to go out there now and win the games, especially against the teams you're competing against for playoff spots.
Absolutely. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled on the playoff races as the weekend happens. In the meantime,
and pity parties coming up.
Pity parties coming up at 1 o'clock.
I'm sure Brian has a stacked lineup. He'll tell us all about it next week, what's coming up the next week. But I'm sure everyone just stay on to UMFM 101.5. The pity party's coming up soon.
And in the meantime?
Oh, yeah, in the meantime, hopefully the Gold A's win because they're playing ball.
Strike three, you're out.